So I go ahead and shake it, but it is a very difficult and awkward time. Psalm 119 this evening, our last Wednesday night looking at Psalm 119. We started out last month by looking at some of the key psalms, Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 51, and Psalm 119. And it's taken us, this is the third week on Psalm 119. The first Wednesday night we looked in this, just in this psalm itself, at what the Bible is. And then last week we looked at what the Bible does. And tonight we're going to look at what we must do with the Bible. It's great that the Bible is water that cleanses us. It's great that it is honey for our mouth. It's great in all that it is, but if we don't do anything with it, see, the Bible sitting on the coffee table in your house doesn't do anything. I wish it did. I wish it magically jumped up, and my wife wished it magically jumped up and ran in and did the dishes or went downstairs and did the laundry. Of course, she's got a daughter she wished magically did that too, but that doesn't. And she's got a husband, so. Well, we wish we could wish that, but the Bible is no good if it's closed. The Bible has no effect if it's not read, if it's not opened, if it's not looked at, if it's not prayed over, if it's not wept over. So what we must do with the Bible in light of what the Bible is and in light of what the Bible does, what must we do with it? And we're looking at Psalm 119. We're going to read the first 8 verses, and we'll be back in them later, but we're going to do that to start out. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments, I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. What must we do with the Bible according to Psalm 119? Well, first of all, we should love it. Look down, if you would, at verse number 97. Again, we read the first 8 verses just to get us started, and we're going to look throughout this psalm this evening. But notice that Psalm 119 and verse number 97. What must we do with the Bible? We should love it. The psalmist said in verse 97, "Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Oh, how I love that. Can you say that tonight, that you love the Word of God? Does it look, if God knows, if someone else were to follow you around for the 24-hour period of your day, would there be any indication that you love the Bible? If we love something, there is a sign to it. There is an outward manifestation to it. And it's easy to sing the song, "I love the old Bible, precious old Bible," and wave it. But it's another thing to really do something with it. And we can say all the time we want, "Oh, how I love Thy law," but the psalmist said, "It is my meditation all the day." When you love something, you love someone, you think about it all the time. It doesn't take long in beginning a conversation with someone to find out what they love, because they will talk about what they love. Whether it's sports or politics or church or whatever it is, they'll talk about that. And you and I, when it comes to the Word of God, the psalmist said, we should love His Word. Look at verse 159. Psalm 159. There's Psalm 119, verse 159. There we go. "Consider how I love Thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to Thy loving kindness." How I love Thy precepts. The way you treat your Bible is the way that you treat your Savior. If you ignore your Bible, you can't say, "I love the Lord." If you neglect your Bible, you can't say, "I love God." Because you'll spend time with that which you love. Folks, can we just, let's be upfront here. We're a lousy bunch. And I don't mean Bible Baptist Church. We've got the cream of the crop here. But I mean, we as humans are a lousy bunch. And we do love the Lord. But if we get to the end of our day and do a brief accounting of how much time we spent eating, how much time we spent watching television, how much time we spent on electronics, how much time we spent reading something other than the Bible. If we were to, at the end of the day, add all these numbers up and all these times and look back over it, I think we'd all be very embarrassed and very humbled and humiliated to see how much time we meditated on His Word. How much time? Maybe I'm the only one in this boat, but you know what? I can sit down and read a book by someone else, someone whose writing I love. I can sit down and read that book and I can knock off 50, 60 pages in one sitting without a problem. I sit down and read my Bible and I have to push myself sometimes to get through my daily Bible reading. Am I the only one like that? What is that? That's our humanity. That's our... And that's not a good thing. And we need to train ourselves. We need to compel ourselves to love His Word. Now, we're never going to spend as much time in the Word as we do eating three times a day. We're never going to spend as much time in the Bible probably as we do on some of the other things that we love. But boy, we sure ought to work for a balance somewhere. And we sure ought to be convinced this, that we're not going to spend the time reading the other stuff, watching the other stuff, doing the other stuff, before we've spent some time in God's Word. Because that would be challenging, isn't it? I mean, I go through this often. I have a book that I'm reading, and I can't wait to read some more of it that day, but I haven't read my Bible yet. And a struggle begins, all right? I want to get to this one because I left off at a good place in that book, but I need to do my Bible reading for my own personal spiritual maintenance first, and there's a struggle that goes on. But that's when we get an opportunity to show the Lord what we really love. It really is an opportunity to show Him. Knows, nobody else sees, but we show Him. Lord, you are the priority here. You are the one I love. I'm going to look at that first. To love Him, to love God, is to love His Word. To love God is to love His Word. And when we don't spend time in the Bible or read the Bible or study the Bible or meditate over the Bible, we can't rightfully say, oh Lord, I love You, when we don't love His Word. All He's given us about Him, to know about Him, is this right here. The psalmist said, oh, how I love Thy law. What must we do with the Bible? First of all, we should love it. Second of all, we should prize it. Prize it. Look at verse 72. We talked about this, about what the Bible is. It's our treasure. It's our great spoil. And this kind of follows along that line in verse 72. The Bible says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Is it? Have you gotten your stimulus check yet? If you're like me, you haven't. And you're wondering, what's this government doing? Everybody else has gotten theirs. Why haven't I gotten mine yet? I even called my tax preparer who said does my taxes. I emailed him and I said, how come I haven't gotten mine yet? Everybody else is getting theirs. That little selfish part of me in there. So I found out you can go on a website and you can look it up. If you have the information, what your refund is supposed to... I haven't even gotten my refund yet, much less my stimulus. Man, I'll be wealthy when those things show up. I can go to McDonald's and buy a lunch. But I can go on that account and I can type all that information in and look for it. And I'm waiting. And of course, every couple of days when I go back up and do it, it says your tax return is sure, still being processed. That's all it tells me. Still being processed. Nothing more than that. But I know there's some money coming, and so it's got my attention. And I'm trying to find out what it is. When we have something materially speaking that we desire, we are anticipating it. We are looking forward to it. We treasure it. We value it. How much more the Word of God? All that our hearts would be so in love with God and with His Word that when we wake up in the morning, we can't wait to read our Bible. Just like we anticipate other things. I heard something on the radio today that the best way to be able to get up in the morning, to get up spry and ready to go, is to be anticipating something you're looking forward to. And all that when we woke up in the morning, we would anticipate getting down and reading our Bible for the day, and that would motivate us and get us moving. He said it should be our treasure. Better to me than thousands of gold and silver. Look at verse 128. Psalm 119, verse 28. He said this, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." I esteem all thy precepts. You know Job 23:12. We'll not turn there, but I seems to me I quote it or refer to it often. Job 23:12. Job said this, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. We get up in the morning and we're thinking, what am I going to eat for breakfast? We need that fuel to get us going throughout the day. Job said that I've thought about, I've esteemed, I've valued, I've treasured his words above my breakfast, my lunch, my dinner. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Keep your place there in Psalm 119, but turn over to Psalm 138. Psalm 138 in verse number 2, talking about esteeming his words. Psalm 138 in verse 2, the psalmist said, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth." Notice this. "For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name." God has esteemed his words. He's lifted it up above his very name. A man is known by his word. If a man's word is no good, his character is no good. God is known by his word. It's lifted up. It's exalted. It's magnified. We ought to esteem His Word. I know the Bible is just a book. Now, hear me out before you judge me on that statement. By just a book, I mean this. It rolls off the publisher's presses every day. It's just a book. It is black ink on white paper. It's just a book. It is bound like most other books are, though there is something special about these, but they're bound, they are published, they're printed, they're advertised, they're sold, they're shipped out, just like millions of other books are. It's just another book. But it's not just another book. It's God's book. And it is more valuable than any other book that's ever been printed, ever been written, ever been published, ever been sold, ever been shipped. It's the Word of God. And we need to learn to prize it. Love it. Prize it. Number three, study it. Look at verse 7. Psalm 119 and verse 7. "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I have learned thy righteous judgments." Emphasizing that word, learned. When I have learned. You learn something by studying it. You don't learn something just by reading it once or by hearing it. You learn something by putting some effort into studying it and researching it and checking it out. And the psalmist said he has learned God's righteous judgments. The psalmist invested some time into the Word of God. Look at verse number 12. He said this, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me. Teach me thy statutes." Bible reading is a necessary and a wonderful thing. It is our devotional life. And you ought to read your Bible through at least once a year. It doesn't take a lot of reading to read your Bible through once a year. When you get measuring how much time you spend in the Bible compared to all these other things, reading it enough to read it through in 1 year is not difficult to do. It's less than 1,500 pages over 365 days. So that's like 3 pages a day, I think, and you've got it through. But we need to read it, and then we also need to study it. When we read it, we're reading it. But then we need to go back and study it. That's how we learn. That's how He teaches us. Church, our church services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, are hopefully a motivation to get you and I to push us and to encourage us to get more into the Word of God than just our casual reading. Look in verse 18 here in this psalm. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. If you've spent any time studying the Word of God, you know this. It's a wonderful book. It is an amazing book. And you start studying a topic, you start studying a word, a doctrine, whatever it might be, a parable, a miracle. You start studying that and you find out that the depth and the wealth of that is so rich that it's amazing. Marvelous things out of thy word. Look at verse 26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me. Teach me thy statutes. The phrase teach me is 9 times here in the book in Psalm 119. In this one chapter, it's there 9 times. 7 times it says, teach me thy statutes. 1 time it says, teach me good judgment and knowledge. And another time, teach me thy judgments. But the psalmist had a desire to study, to meditate on it. When you and I study our Bibles daily, we will be blessed of God. The more time we spend in the Bible, the closer to God we get. The more blessed we are. It doesn't erase our problems. It doesn't take care of them. But it sure gives us something to be able to face them with. The Word of God. Teach me thy statutes. Keep your place there, and I know you know the verse, but go over to the New Testament, to 2 Timothy. The classic verse, I guess, on studying the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15, I think there's only 3 times the word study appears in the Bible. And this is one of those 3. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible simply declares this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is it that he's telling us to study? What is he telling us to be a workman at? What is he telling us that we need to rightly divide? It's the word of truth. Thank God the simple things of the Bible are simple. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. Jesus died for you. God's commands are clear. His eternal punishments are explained in the Word of God. His eternal rewards are there. Those things are all simple. But there's some wonderful truths in the Bible that if you don't rightly divide, you're going to really be messed up. And a lot of folks are today. So what do? We study. Study to show ourselves approved. Not so we can win an argument with somebody at work, but study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Back in Psalm 119, look at verse 34. Still talking about studying it. Verse 34 says this, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole I like those two words, whole heart. Those two words appear six times right here in this Psalm 119. My whole heart. One time it's talking about praying. The other five times it's talking about reading, learning God's statutes, His commandments. And it says we do it with our whole heart. You can't study the Bible with a dirty heart. You know why you don't read your Bible sometimes? You know why you don't study your Bible sometimes? Because you got a dirty heart. You say, preacher, how can you say that to us? Well, maybe I was talking to myself. And if you know, I am. Not because I have a dirty, filthy heart in that regard, but sometimes we value or treasure something else more than the Word of God. That's a dirty heart. When something else means more to us than the Word of God, that's a dirty heart. Now, you can't read and study when you're mowing the lawn. At least, I don't think you can. I've never tried it. It's difficult to read or study when you're driving your car. I can tell you that because I have tried that one. But there are times when we have time to sit down with the Word of God and open it and look at it, and we choose to do something different, knowing that the best thing we could do at that moment is read God's Word. We need to do it with our whole heart. Love it, prize it, study it. Number four, verse 11. You know this one. Memorize it. Memorize it. You know, if you do that, then on Wednesday night when Pastor Brayton says, who's got a verse? Every song in the auditorium, every hand in the auditorium will go up. Verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. We should memorize the Word of God. You know why? Well, because the Bible tells us to. But we should memorize it because Jesus did. When the devil led him into the wilderness to be tempted, or the Spirit led him in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he was tempted three times, he answered with what? He answered with Scripture from the Old Testament. Now, he didn't stop the devil during those temptations and say, hey, wait a minute, do you have a Bible? I think there's a verse on that somewhere back in Deuteronomy. Give me a minute. I know it's on the top left-hand page over on this certain page. I read it. Yeah. He didn't have a Bible. You know what? He had the Word hid in his heart. And he answered with Scripture. Now you say, well, that's Jesus. Well, that's supposed to be our example, isn't it? He wasn't alone. The disciples did it. The disciples, you see Peter preaching on Pentecost. You know what he's doing? He's ripping off the book. He's spouting off the book of Joel, chapter 2. He's quoting it. On the day of Pentecost, he didn't have, as far as I could tell, he didn't have the manuscript in front of him. He was going by memory, and he was saying, this is that which is written by the prophet Joel. And he began to recite and quote it. And that happens throughout the New Testament. Even the Pharisees and the Sadducees quoted Scripture. Sometimes accurately, sometimes twisted. But everybody memorizes Scripture. You know how I know that? Because I watched Jeopardy last night. Last night on Jeopardy, they're doing the contest. I forget who the three guys are, but I enjoy watching them. The three biggest winners they've ever had. And I don't know if this is a rerun. I think they did this. But anyways, they got the three biggest winners they've ever had on Jeopardy. And the final Jeopardy question yesterday, for all the... They're not doing money, they're doing points. All the points. The final question was, what are the first six words in the Gospel of John? Now these three guys, Ken, and I forget his name, the guy in the middle, he's the biggest winner of all time. James on the other side is the gambler, the professional gambler that just won like crazy and he's on. And then the other guys on the other side, these three guys are just, if they're Christians, we don't know that. And you know what happened? All three of them got it right. In the beginning was the Word. All three of these guys on Jeopardy got the first six words of John chapter 1, verse number 1. It's easy to memorize the Word of God. It really is. Children downstairs in our youth departments memorize verses. It's not hard to memorize one verse in a week's time. Several years ago, we had the little red book, Soul Winners, Treasure of Bible Memorization, something like that. And we went through that. Many folks did it. And some folks just told me, "Preacher, I can't do that. My mind is not sharp enough to do that." And they were usually not the youngest people in the congregation. They said, "We just can't do that anymore." And I understand that. I understand how that is. So you can't memorize those five or six verses on that page in a week's time. But one's a whole different story. You come across something in your Bible, reading a verse that just jumps out, blesses you, convicts you, challenges you. Write it down on a little 3x5 card. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it in your car on the rear view mirror, something like that. And just work on memorizing that verse. Back in the days where I was selling and traveling a lot more, that's one of the things I enjoyed, was just flipping through those cards and memorizing different Bible verses. We can all hide the word in our heart that we might not sin against God. Jesus did it. The disciples did it. Everybody does it. Look at 1 Peter 3. Keep yourself your place there in Psalm, but look at 1 Peter 3. Here's why you need to do it. I don't think... That's not the end of my sentence. I don't think we're ever going to come to a point in the United States of America where we don't have Bibles. Sometimes folks send the alarm out and say, "Well, they're disappearing and you're not going to get them." I mean, they're cranking them out, bearing precious seed. First Word down in the place down in Lebanon, they're putting Bibles out. But there might be a time where you just don't have access to one for some reason or another. And that's when it's going to be good to have hidden the Word of God in your heart. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Remember that whole heart thing about studying? "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Our human wisdom and our human reasoning is never going to convince anyone of the sincerity of our faith. But the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We can use the Bible to explain how we feel, what we think, who we are, what we do. We need to memorize it. Number five. Look at verse 15. "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." We should meditate. Meditate on it. Meditating is not the same as memorizing. But meditation is impossible without memorization. That's a good saying right there. Meditation is impossible without memorization. If you have not memorized and hidden in your heart, how are you going to meditate on it? We meditate by memorizing it. Seven times here in this psalm, the word meditate or meditation is used. Verse number 15, verse number 23. "But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." Verse number 48. "I will meditate in thy statutes." Verse 78. "I will meditate in thy precepts." Verse 148. "Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word." These five times the word meditate. Then meditation is in verse 97 and verse 99. "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." Can I tell you this? Can you hear it from the Baptist preacher? I believe in meditation. You've heard preachers say, "Oh, don't get into that meditation stuff. That's bad for you." No, it's good for you. Meditation is great. Keep your place. Look at Joshua, all the way back in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. While you're looking there, you know Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not, standeth not, sitteth not, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Psalm 1:2, day and night. The Bible is for meditation. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Thou shalt. There's a thou shalt. A positive commandment. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. The Word of God is not something that we just think of on Sunday morning for an hour. Or Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But it's something that's to be a part of our life. The Bible should define us. Define who we are. Define how we live. Define what we believe. It should be our meditation day and night, the Bible tells us. Meditation is to the soul what digestion is to the body. You sit down and you eat your meal. And then it takes a little while for that food to digest. When you and I read the Word of God, when we memorize the Word of God, we need some time to just digest it. Too quickly, we run from the table. And sometimes we just need that time of meditation. Meditation's a good thing. Now, the world has completely messed up this whole meditation thing. Whether it's yoga or whatever the process is, they've taken something that's good and they've defiled it. That's what the world does. The most current thing right now is called mindfulness. Have you heard of it? Mindfulness. Google it and you can get, there's all kinds of books on mindfulness for beginners. And there's one, I like that title, Mindfulness for the Mindless. I thought, well, they wrote one for me. That's great. But mindfulness is the current trend of meditation that is pushing. And you can look at videos, you can read books, and it's all the same stuff, just repackaged. And one of them says, in this thing of mindfulness, what you're trying to do is just relax yourself and settle and focus on the present and eliminate everything. And so they tell you to get a focus rock. A focus rock. I mean, literally, a rock. And you set it there, and you meditate. You stare at it. You gaze at it. You meditate on it. You sit there and just look at that and let everything else just kind of fall out of the picture. And you just focus on it. And it brings peace, and it brings joy, and it brings relaxation. And you would think I'm making this up if it wasn't true. Popular psychology is always taking something that's right and perverting it. It's good to meditate, but it's not that rock you focus on. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. Meditate on it. Number 6, trust it. Look at verse 42. Trust it. Well, if there's anything we need our young people to know today, is that they can trust the Bible. It's under attack everywhere they go. Whether it's in the classroom, whether it's in magazines and newspapers or the Planet Channel or Animal World or whatever it is, everywhere you go, the Bible is under attack. Verse 42 says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. I trust in thy word. Can I tell you this? I've been saved for 45 years. I've read the Bible through multitudes of times. But I don't have the answer for every question. I have questions that I don't have answers to. But you know what I've learned? I trust his word. I don't have to have the answer to trust it. I know he's right. That's not the issue. When there's something that I don't understand, the problem is I don't understand. When we can begin with that premise, we're in good shape. But see, the average person begins with the premise is the Bible has to prove itself to be right before I accept it. And when you go with that premise, you're never going to be satisfied. I saw someone on social media, Facebook, put the other day, said, I believe in science. I thought, what a miserable existence. Because it's always changing. Now, pure science, there is a pure science, but I believe in science. Well, the science that we heard 2 months ago or the science we're hearing today? Science is always changing. Is it Pluto? Is Pluto a planet or is it not a planet? Science is always changing. But you can trust the Word of God. Trust it. You can trust it about everything. Look at verse 128. Verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I esteem thy precepts in all things to be right. The Bible has never made a mistake. The Bible has never been incorrect. Oh, there have been those that have tried to find those mistakes and correct those archaeological things or astronomical things or whatever they might be, but they've never found a mistake in the Word of God. You can trust it. Because to argue with the Bible is not to argue with a printed book of black words on white pages. To argue with the Bible is to argue with God. I've told you this before, one of the scariest statements I've heard, and I've heard it more times than I can remember. Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but I'll be honest with you, I get goosebumps of fear and I want to turn and run. I'm waiting for lightning to come down from heaven. When somebody says, I know what the Bible says, but what they're going to tell me is, I know the Bible tells me I shouldn't do this, but I've decided I'm going to do it. That's basically what they're not wording it that way, but it's coming across that way. The Bible is right when it tells you what to do. The Bible is right when it tells you what not to do. The Bible is right when it tells you where to go. The Bible is right when it tells you where not to go. The Bible is right when it tells you what to read and not to read, what to look at, what not to look at. Everything the Bible says, it's right. Down to every participle of our daily life, we can trust it. It's true and it can be wholly trusted. Number 7. Look back to the first 8 verses that we read as we began. What must we do with the Bible? We must obey it. Number 7, we must obey it. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect to all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments, I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. There's no other way but to trust and obey. Do what the Bible says to do. Then lastly, number 8. Look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Thy word have I hid in my heart. The Bible says that from the heart, the mouth speaketh. When the heart is full of adulteries, fornications, thefts, covetous, wickedness, when the heart's full of that, that's what comes out of the mouth. So if we truly love the Lord and love His Word and we're meditating it and memorizing it and reading it and studying it and it's in there, it can't stop. It can't help but come out of our mouth. And the psalmist said, with my lips, have I declared, verse 13, all thy judgments of thy mouth. Verse 27. Make me to understand the ways of thy precepts. So shall I talk of all thy wondrous works. That which we love, we talk about. That which we love, we tell others about. Ladies, you get those new shoes? Men, you get that. What is it we talk about? What is it we like? That big lunch. I don't know what it is. But we like to talk about it. Oh, how I love thy law. Look at one more verse. We'll be done. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Talking about it. Well, I'm worried I'd be labeled a religious fanatic if I talk about the Bible. Well, can I give you a clue? You're in church on a Wednesday night. You're already a religious fanatic. When you're in church on a Wednesday night, there's no hope for you. If you don't believe me, ask Bill Gates. I saw a video just the other day where in 2005, he was over in Europe giving a symposium, a seminar. Just a handful of people there, and he was showing the brains of people, a scan of a brain up there. The top one, as by his wording, was a religious fanatic. A fundamentalist, he called it. The bottom was a normal person. And they showed, and he had little highlighted parts of the brain and showed where the religious fanatic has a mental problem. And they should be vaccinated for it. Now this is 2005. Don't trust that guy any farther than you can throw him. And that far long ago, he was talking about vaccinating religious people. You and I are the people he's talking about. You got that? So there's no way around that. So you might as well just blow off all inhibitions and talk about the Word of God every chance you get, because you've already been labeled as a religious fanatic. You're in church. You've been in church for 8 weeks during the greatest plague that's ever hit the world. You're a religious fanatic. So talk about it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And going along with loving the Lord thy God, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. When you love God, you'll put God's word in your heart. But then what's going to happen? Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That's a religious fanatic right there. Can't stop talking about the Bible. They asked George Whitefield, why do you keep saying you must be born again? Dad, because you must be born again. Thou shalt bind them, verse 8, for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates. Declare it. Declare it. What must we do with the Bible? Love it. Prize it. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Trust it. Obey it. Declare it. Preacher, that's 8 things. How do I do all 8 of those? You know what? You start doing one, and the other 7 just kind of jump on board. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. What we must do with the Bible. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.